1 Corinthians chapter 15. And I never know who exactly is on these. I'm praying that the Anchor Baptist Church is faithful. But I did go today. The only way you can comment is on the Facebook feed. And I noticed we had people listening to this morning service. Obviously, many of you locally from Anchor Baptist. Praise the Lord. Others of you might have been on the website or YouTube. But I noticed on the Facebook feed that we had someone from the UK watching the service that checked in. We had someone from the Philippines watching the service, and we praise the Lord. Some from the United States watching the service. They can listen to us without quarantine, so that's a blessing. And many others, of course, as I said, Anchor Baptist Church. That's something about 2020 that we'll mention on Wednesday. Not even having something like this until mid-March. And again, we just thank the Lord for the ability to be able to continue to have church. Let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It's a familiar passage. We've been continuing now to speak about the Lord Jesus Christ in all different ways. We talked many, many weeks ago about his incarnation. We talked about his, last week we talked about his death. If you remember in the morning service, this afternoon we're going to talk about his resurrection. And I don't remember all the other lessons. They've slipped my mind right now, but we've spent many weeks. We were doing it on Wednesday nights. This goes back into November, October-ish. And we've been looking at his character traits, the character traits, and so forth. And so tonight, this afternoon, we'll look at this one. Jesus Christ is alive is the theme for this message, and I pray that it will encourage you. If you'll follow along, I'll read the first four verses of 1 Corinthians 15. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the promises in your word. Thank you once again for this doctrinal truth that Jesus Christ is alive. And I pray, God, that it would not just be another message that maybe we would typically hear in the springtime, but it would be a message of importance to us, because it is very important. Not that we know about it, but that we can talk to others about it. And that's the whole emphasis of these lessons on the life of Jesus Christ and these truths that we've been talking about. And I pray once again that you'd empty me of myself, fill me with your Spirit. May each listener be filled with your Spirit. Someone that's even listening right now that is not saved, this is a vital truth for them to understand for their salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. Did I get that on okay? Last Sunday, as I mentioned, we spoke about the importance of the vicarious death of Jesus Christ. Do you remember what that word vicarious means? It means that he died in our place. He was our substitute. Remember, we talked about the substitute teacher. And praise the Lord for that. Now, if that's the way that the story of Jesus Christ ended with his death, then it would be, if that's how his story ended, then it would be the end of our story. Because without a risen Savior, without a Savior who conquered all that he conquered, we would have no hope for conquering those very same things. In fact, Jesus Christ's death is not the end of his story. And truly, that is an exciting thing to consider once again. We read a few moments ago, the Apostle Paul, writing back to the church at Corinth, he wrote these words, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is why we have church on Sunday. We are celebrating the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ every Lord's Day, every Sunday. This celebration is not limited to one Sunday in the springtime. Although we do maybe emphasize that, and I believe that is perfectly fine to do. Others might disagree, and that's fine as well. We should, however,
be in a continual state of joy and state of victory because the tomb is empty, because our Savior lives. He died vicariously for you and for me that we would not have to die and go to heaven. But 3 days later, he arose and conquered death so that we can conquer death. He conquered hell so that we can conquer hell. And we have the privilege of preaching a gospel that includes a resurrected Savior and Lord. And this is a blessing. Now, this event should become so familiar to you and to me, not that it loses its emphasis or its importance, but we should become so familiar with this instance in the Word of God, this truth in the Word of God, so that we could teach others also. I've emphasized that over and over again as we've looked at these doctrinal truths about Christ, about Jesus Christ, not so that we can, continuously maybe have this these one little truths. No, it's not just for you to have. It is for you to have. It is for me to have. But it's so that we can take it and we can have something to give to someone else. Think about how many people in Vancouver have no idea. Yes, they know at Easter time the Christians talk about the resurrection, but they have no idea about the death. They have no idea about the burial, the resurrection, the gospel to them. Maybe they know about Jesus, but they don't understand the importance of it. We are to be the ones, like Paul said here, it's something that he received. He was delivering something that he had already received. Something that was his. You know what? You can't deliver what you haven't received. Think about that. And I've received Jesus Christ as my Savior. Have you? If you've received Jesus Christ as your Savior, guess what? Then you have the opportunity to deliver that same message that was given to you, that you received. You and I are supposed to be delivery boys and delivery girls. We're supposed to be getting the message out. Because if you think about it, turn to 1 Corinthians, or turn over to chapter 15, sorry, turn over to verse 17. Here's something to have in your heart and consider. Verse 17. And if Christ be not raised, okay, if it says, your faith is what? Vain. It's worthless. Our theme this coming year, strong in faith, but if Jesus Christ is dead, then our faith is in vain. It's worthless. It means nothing. Now he said if, we know he did. But notice what else he says. Ye are yet in your what? Sins. Oh boy. Without a risen Savior, without an empty tomb, without Jesus Christ coming back from the life, coming back from the dead, we would still be in our sins. Meaning this, the penalty of sin would still be over us. We would have no victory. We would have nothing to look forward to because he would be dead and he would not have conquered what we cannot conquer. But we know that he did. Now, what I'm trying to help us with, what I'm trying to help me with, is so that we have the ability, even without having our Bible at our disposal, okay? What I mean by that is, I don't usually carry this Bible with me everywhere I go. Now, I have a New Testament in my car, but I don't always have that on my person. But I know our cell phones could easily find verses of Scripture, and I would encourage you to make sure you have a Bible app downloaded, and you can use that. I'm not saying that that's a bad thing to do. I've done it before. I have a couple of apps that I use, and I can pull those up, and I've shown people different things from the Bible. But another powerful way is as well is to be able to talk about these verses of Scripture, knowing where they're at, and being able to quote verses of Scripture and talk to people. In other words, I need to be able to show from the Word of God Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. I want to be able to show someone what I have already received. So let's jump into this, and we're going to do a Bible study, okay? If you have your Bible, go to John chapter 19. John chapter 19. Before we can prove that Jesus Christ is alive, we're going to just give a quick review of the fact that Jesus Christ did die. Now, we talked about that last Sunday. We're going to look at it a little different angle. Look at John chapter 19, verse 32. The Bible says, then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first. Remember how many people were crucified with Jesus? Two, right? One on each side. and of the other which was crucified with him. So they broke both of their legs. Okay? Why did they break their legs? Okay? They broke their legs because they thought they were still alive. Maybe they were, but it would prevent them from using their legs to lift up and get any oxygen in. So basically, once they broke their legs, it's cruel, really. And now there's no way to push up, and literally they would asphyxiate themselves and they would die a final death, or not final death, but if they weren't dead, they would die based on that, and that's why they did it. But notice verse 33, but when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they break not his legs, but one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. Now, it was prophesied that not a bone of his body would be broken, and so there is a fulfillment of prophecy here, but I'm not pointing that out. What I'm pointing out is here is proof of the soldiers that Jesus Christ was dead. Why are we looking at these? Because there is one theory out there. There are more than one, but there's one theory in particular out there that is called the swoon theory. The swoon theory, S-W-O-O-N theory, the swoon theory. What does this say? This theory says that Jesus did not actually die, but simply swooned on the cross as part of a fantastic plot to convince the public that he was the Messiah. He conspired to have himself placed in a situation that would result in the crucifixion, given a drug that caused him to fall asleep while on the cross. And we have evidence here in John chapter 19 that the very soldiers, the Roman soldiers, believed he was dead already. Henceforth, they did not break his legs. Turn back to John or Matthew 27. Pardon me, Matthew 27. Matthew 27. The Bible says in verse 57. When the even was come, there came a rich man out of Arimathea named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. He went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered, and when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth, laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out in the rock, and he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulchre and departed. Here we see Jesus is dead, being put in the grave. Mark's Gospel, chapter 15, we won't read that. Mark 15, 44 and 45, and also Mark 16, 1. Now, you see, the Romans, let's go back to our thinking about the Romans. The Romans were experts at what they did. They dotted every I, crossed every T, but in John's Gospel, we discovered there that they chose not to break the legs of the Lord Jesus Christ, because even the Roman soldiers knew that he was already dead. The government concluded he was dead and released him for burial. Now, think about it. If, for some reason, he was in this swoon theory was something to believe, and it's not at all, but think about this. In his current condition, how would he survive 3 days in a tomb, having gone through all that he went through, no food, no water, etc.? Okay? Because a swooning person, if someone is swooning, if that's even a word, they're still breathing and there's still a heartbeat. And those Roman soldiers came up to the Lord Jesus Christ, and they, again, if they're doing their job and they think at all that he's alive, they're going to break his legs, so that he can no longer breathe properly and he would die. So I'm not spending a lot of time on that. I'm just mentioning that it is definitely a false theory. There is plenty of biblical evidence to prove that Jesus Christ did die. Now let's go to our second thought, his death, but let's go now to why we believe he is alive. Let's take our Bibles and go to Mark chapter number 16. Mark chapter number 16. And then we're going to conclude a little bit later with what are the results of the resurrection. That's really going to be our application. And that's really, to me, I mean, all of this is exciting, but really that's the exciting part about it, because we're reading historical things that happened, But now at the end, when we apply it at the end of the preaching time, we're going to show the results of what we're reading about and why it is so vital to have a risen Savior, not just to go to heaven, though. Not just to go to heaven. Now, that's the most important reason to have a risen Savior is to go to heaven. But I'm not in heaven right now. So what does a risen Savior mean to me, 47 years of age in 2020? It means a lot. And we're going to talk about that at the end. Let's just look at some things maybe that you've walked through before. Mark 16 and verse number 9. The Bible says, and now when Jesus was risen early the what day of the week? First day of the week. Mark it down. Why do we go to church on Sunday? This is why. Jesus Christ rose again from the dead on Sunday. Now, that's something that might be new. Maybe it's not, but it's okay to repeat it. Why do we go to church? Why don't we go to church on Saturday? We go to church on Sunday because the Lord was risen again on Sunday. That's when they went to church in the first century, and it's continued on today. And we celebrate that resurrection. He first appeared to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. And she went and told them that had been with him as they mourned and wept. And they, when they heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, notice what it says. Believe not. Believe not. You know what you remember what we talked about this morning? Fear not, only what? Believe. Here we have an example of Mary Magdalene. Again, Mary Magdalene, of whom was cast out seven devils. So maybe they thought, you know, Mary Magdalene, you know, you were kind of known to tell some weird stories in the past. Now you're telling us that Jesus is alive. We saw him die on the cross. We saw him say it is finished. We saw him bow his head and give up the ghost. You're telling me he's alive? And many that she told believed not. Turn over now Matthew. Let's go to Matthew 28. Matthew 28 and verse number 1. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene, here's another account, and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. Behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye. There it is. Fear not ye. That's a good theme for today. Over and over, we've been hearing that. For I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. How do we know Jesus is alive? Here's an angel from heaven with a message from God for Mary Magdalene and for Mary and for you in 2020 and for me in 2020 that Jesus Christ is alive. Now again, there's a reason why this is vital and this is important. He said, for he is risen as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay. Go quickly and tell the disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy and did run to bring his disciples word. Don't you like that wording there? They did run. Can you imagine if they just moped along, you know? They'd just been told. They just saw. I mean, here's an angel. Hey, fear not. Go tell the disciples, Jesus. Hey, that same message is the message that we have today. It is the message of hope that we have today. And why are too many Christians walking with that message? We need to be running with that message. It has an idea of urgency, right? When you're running, it's urgent. If you see somebody flying down the road, and they're not in their workout clothes, right? You might wonder, where are they going? You see somebody walking down the road, you don't think anything of that. And that's how I get around, though. I like to walk down the road. I like to take walks. But you don't think, somebody, I say for a walk. But if somebody's running down the sidewalk, they're either crazy or they got to get somewhere really fast, right? Why? Because there's an urgency about the matter. There's a message that must be delivered. And can I say to you tonight, as you look into the scriptures and see that the tomb is empty, can we, like the ladies, can we, like Mary and Mary Magdalene, can we put on our gospel shoes, the gospel of peace, and let us run with that great message, that message that Jesus is alive? Boy, we need to tell people. We need to tell one another that. They were telling the disciples. They were telling people that were already saved, if you will. We need to encourage one another. Hey, don't be so down in the dumps. Jesus is alive. Don't be so discouraged. Our God is great and he's mighty and our Savior is risen. So much to rejoice about. We see that the angel said, hey, get with it. Tell someone about it. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them saying, all hail, verse 9, and they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. It was a bodily resurrection too, by the way. We weren't going to really get into that, but here we see that. They said unto them, and then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee. There shall they see me. He appears to Mary Magdalene. He appears to Mary Magdalene and Mary. And in Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, verse 34, we won't turn there. He appeared to Simon. In Luke 24, 36 to 43, he appeared to the 10 disciples. And let's go to John 20. John 20, please. John chapter 20. Also 500 brethren, 1 Corinthians 15, 6. James and the Apostles, 1 Corinthians 15, 7. John 20, and verse 26. Verse 24, but Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, Thomas, hey Thomas, we have seen the Lord. He said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And you've heard probably messages about that and different things. Unfortunately, we still consider Thomas doubting. And yeah, obviously there is some doubt there. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, remember, Jesus wasn't there when he said that, but Jesus knows everything. He's omnipresent. You know, so many times we get the idea that we could do something over here on the side and God isn't going to know about it. God's going to know about it. God does know about it. I don't mean I'm not trying to scare. I'm just trying to say, here's a perfect example of someone who makes a statement and just kind of, maybe he doesn't even really think about what he's saying. And sometimes we do that. Not necessarily about this, but we'll say something to somebody in our house or to a stranger or to somebody at work or whatever. And we just without even thinking about it, we just blurt out something. And later on we realize, man, I think it was Brother Bernie that used to always talk about the rewind thing. You know, wish you could rewind some words, you know. We all have had those moments. And what we need to recognize is this here. Jesus says, hey, Thomas, okay, reach hither thy hand right here. Here it is. Reach hither, right in, here's my hands. Thomas answered and said, my Lord and my God. And here we see what the point is of the appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 30, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not even written in this book. But these are written. What? What's written? That Jesus is alive. But these are written that he appeared to the disciples, that he appeared to Thomas, that he appeared to Mary, that he appeared to Mary Magdalene, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. There's an empty tomb that proves. Not only there's the eyewitness accounts, number one. Number two, there's an empty tomb. We looked at those already. Several passages of Scripture. Matthew 28, 6. Mark 16, 6. John 20, we read that. The tomb was sealed by the Roman government. They sealed it so that someone could not come and take the body and say that he had been risen from the dead. You can read about that in Matthew 27, 62 to 66. But there was even a plan in place to plant seeds of doubt. Can I show you this? Do you want to see something? Go over to Matthew 28. Matthew 28. Seeing how 2020 has become the year of certain slogans and phrases, and maybe even last year and previous years. Matthew 28, look at what, Matthew 28. Here we have a case of fake news. Fake news, Matthew 28, verse 11. Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priest all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers. They paid him off, saying, say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while he slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. Here it is, fake news. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. No, they lied. This was all made up. He was He was risen. He was not, his body was not taken. You know what? Here's, I'm going to give you the text if you want to read it. John 20, verses 6 and 7. And I believe this is a proof that his body was not stolen, because the grave clothes were neatly placed, neatly folded, neatly placed, the Bible says. And trust me, a thief that takes somebody's body is not going to leave something orderly, in an orderly fashion. It's going to be what we call a grab and run, okay? And I'm not, I don't, I'm not trying to be sacrilegious, because that's not what happened. I'm just saying, if that is the case, there are other things that would say, no way, Jose, that's not the case. So, we have many eyewitness accounts. We have 500 at one time. We have the disciples at one time. We have Mary and Mary Magdalene over and repeatedly. We have an empty tomb. If he's not alive, where is the body? Nobody can find the body. No, it wasn't stolen away. That's not true either. So, I'd like to give the remainder of our time for this, now that we recognize, according to the Bible, Jesus alive, what are the practical results in your life and my life right now because of the resurrection? Let's look at these, all right? If you want to write these down, if you will, this is really something to have with you and to tuck away in your mind, in your heart. Number one, his resurrection proved his deity. It proved his deity. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, and we're not going to take a long time on these, but these are going to, I think these are exciting. These are exciting because these give us great hope and encouragement each and every day as a believer. Romans chapter 1 and verse number 4, the Bible says, "And declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness," here it is, "by the resurrection from the dead." Because of the resurrection of the dead, it declared him to be the Son of God with power. Another verse is Acts 17:31. Acts 17:31. So result number one, and we've talked about this in previous weeks about Christ, so we're going to go past this, and we're going to go to Romans 4. Go to Romans 4. So it proved his deity. Proved his deity. Not spending much time on that one, although it is vital and it is important. Let's go to the next one. Number two. Romans 4:25, it provided our justification. It provided our justification. Look at verse 25 of Romans 4. The Bible says, "Who was delivered for our offenses." Did he have any offenses? No. Sinless. All points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. He was delivered. He was crucified. He was put through the crucifixion. He was nailed to the cross. He was murdered. He was delivered for our offenses and was raised, resurrection, again for our justification. A simple definition of that justification means it's as just as if we were never a sinner. Think about that. This is part of the result of the resurrection. Number one, it proves his deity. Number two, it provided our justification. Without the resurrection, we are still in our sins. But with the resurrection, you and I are walking around today with the proof that we have, it's as if we have never sinned. Why? Because the Lord Jesus Christ was risen the third day because he paid the penalty. He was delivered for my offenses, but he was raised again so that we could be justified. I'm justified. I'm happy in Jesus today. This is something you should be rejoicing about. Rejoice about it, that you're justified. You're on your way to heaven. Your sin debt has been covered. It's buried as far as the east is from the west. Why? Because the tomb is empty. Because Jesus is alive. Yes, Jesus is alive. So, his resurrection proved his deity. It provided our justification. Number three, it provided our intercessor. It provided our intercessor. Turn over to Romans 8. Romans 8. So, really, a lot of Romans, you got the gospel, you know, the Romans road. And now you can go to Romans 1 for the deity. You can go to Romans 4 for the justification. You can go to Romans 8 for the intercessor. So much in the book of Romans really can help you and me tie all this together as we talk to people. Not just the Romans Road, but other verses of Scripture within this one book. And I mean, all the Bible is important, but look at Romans 8:34. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again. Where's Jesus? Is he in my heart? No, not really. I know we say that, and there's nothing wrong with, but if you want to be completely accurate, according to the Bible, Jesus is not in anybody's heart. And boys and girls, I'm not trying to discourage you about thinking Jesus is not in my heart. No. But you do have God in your heart and the Holy Spirit. That's who's in your heart, the Holy Spirit. Where's Jesus, Pastor Turner? He's in heaven. Look what it says. Who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. He is our mediator. He is our intercessor. Here's God. Here's God. Here's Jesus at the right hand of the throne of God. He's interceding on my behalf. He's interceding on your behalf. He's the go-between, if you will. When we come to God in prayer, how do we come to God in prayer? We come to God in prayer through Jesus Christ. How do we come to God in prayer? Through the blood of Jesus. How are we even allowed into the throne room of God? How are we even allowed to speak to a thrice holy God? Because of the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed on Calvary's cross. Now is at the mercy seat, is on the mercy seat, has been applied for you and for me. So Jesus is not in my heart. The Holy Spirit is in my heart. But Jesus is seated at the right hand of the throne of God, interceding on my behalf, being our advocate between God and man is the man, Christ Jesus. And so, praise God, we have that intercessor, that go-between between us and God. And without the resurrection, we don't have an intercessor. So the resurrection is vital. Number four, turn over to Ephesians chapter 1. Oh, this is something that you need to really meditate on. Look at Ephesians 1. So it proved his deity, number one. It provided our justification, number two. Number three, it provided our intercessor. These are all Bible lessons in themselves, each one of these. But we're just giving you these five highlights. Then number four, his resurrection provided us power. Power. Look at verse number 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe? According to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand, here, there it is again, in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Notice verse 2, chapter 2. And you hath he quickened, who were made in trespasses and sins. Who were dead in trespasses and sins. Who were made alive. Here we see the power that is available to you and to me. Because Jesus Christ has risen from the dead, we, through the power of the Holy Spirit of God that was given to us, we have the power today to be victorious. Why? Because our Savior has risen. He conquered everything that needed to be conquered for us. We live not in our own might, but in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. We live in the power, if you will, of the Spirit of God. Temptation will come. We can overcome temptation. The power that God has provided, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, is available to us each and every day of our life. And by the way, we need it. I'm no match for the enemy. You're no match for the enemy. We just go out there and wing it. We're not going to wing it. Our wings are going to get clipped. We're going nowhere in a hurry. No, we need the power of God. And this isn't some prideful thing. This is some holy thing. This is some humble thing that God would allow His power to flow through us. And all of this is because of the resurrection. It provided us with power. Turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. What else does the resurrection provide us? One more. It provides us with the assurance that we will see our saved family once again. And I'm not saying just biological, okay? I'm talking about spiritual family. Okay? 1 Thessalonians 4:14. For if we believe, do you believe that? Do you believe that the Bible is the Word of God? Remember, if we say we believe the Bible is the Word of God, and it is, read it. Read every word of it. Study it. Meditate on it. Let it be your guide. Let it be the lamp unto your feet and the light into your path. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them also which sleep in Jesus, that means those that have died in Christ, so saved people. I mentioned earlier today that found out just today, or just this week, that Todd passed away back in July. And I believe Todd knew the Lord as far as his testimony. I remember actually sitting right about here, actually, with him. There was a table here, and we started going through the discipleship booklets, one of the booklet ones that we've used in the past, excuse me. And I really had never heard his testimony. I wasn't even sure if he was saved or not. I think I remember mentioning that to Pastor Nathan, but after the first week that we met together, and I just said, so, you know, kind of got into things, and it was very clear that he testified that he knew Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. He'd ask him to save him, forgive him of his sins. He knew that he was the way, the truth, and the life. He passed away, of course, just a month ago or so. Brother Gord passed away. Brother Todd passed away in 2020. Well, hey, this verse tells me that I have the assurance, along with many others that were a part of Anchor Baptist Church, probably some of your family members, some of my family members. The Bible says here, even so, them also which sleep in Jesus, will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. They're going to get a jump on it. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And here it is, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Why is this all possible? Why do we have this hope? Because verse 14 says, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again. The resurrection gives us hope that when we say goodbye to someone on this earth, it is not really goodbye. If they're a Christian, it's see you later. It's see you later. How do we have that hope? How do we have that assurance? It's because the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ gives us that assurance. Resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is a very key doctrine. You and I need to be able to take somebody and open the Word of God. I've given you many verses to maybe jot down and many verses to think about. And again, many of these results of the resurrection you find in the book of Romans, and one in Ephesians, and one here in 1 Thessalonians. But the point of this isn't just that you and I believe it and realize it and recognize it, but we need to pass this on. His resurrection is the key. It's the key to not only my salvation, but it's also the key to my sanctification. It's the key to my walk with the Lord. He's alive. He was victorious. Therefore, I'm alive. And I can be victorious every day. Tonight, this afternoon, this Sunday, next Sunday, the following Sunday, however many Sundays we have until the Lord returns. Every time we look on the calendar and we see Sunday, you know what we say? We say, this is Resurrection Day. We're celebrating once again a risen Lord. We're celebrating once again the Son of God, the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're celebrating our justification. We're celebrating our intercessor. We're celebrating the power. And we're celebrating that someday we will see our lost family members once again. How can this be? It all comes back to one biblical truth, and that is this: Jesus Christ is alive. The main reason he came back to life is so you could be saved, so I could be justified, so you could be justified. I wonder, are you saved? Do you know the Lord? Do you have a testimony that there was a time and a place in your life when you recognized that you were a sinner? By the way, whether you recognize it or not, you are a sinner. You are a sinner, and you are guilty. You are guilty before a holy God. You need to be saved. You need to be forgiven. And there's good news. Jesus Christ has provided all of this through his death, through his burial, through his resurrection. He's provided you justification. Why not receive it tonight? Why not receive it today? And then it's not just so that you can escape the fires of hell, although that is primary, but it is so you can live in victory. Dear Christian, you don't need to live from defeat to victory to defeat to victory. We need to live from victory to victory to victory to victory, constantly on the winning side, constantly excited about what God has. Yes, there's going to be times when we fall, and yes, we'll have to get back up, but the point is this: we can be victorious. Why? Because of the risen risen King, and he did it for you, and he's the one that's interceding on our behalf. We have no reason to live in defeat in 2020. Let's live in victory. Why? Because our Savior is alive.